Welcome to our service for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. Lots of the folk who help with these services are on holiday at this time, so you'll hear a bit more of my voice than usual today. We begin with Jan Struther's lovely hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness, Lord of All Joy. So to our time of confession. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your Church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the Gospel, and that always abiding in you, we may be found steadfast in faith and active in service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crimes of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 14. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarrelling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. Those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgments on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honour of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honour of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honour of the Lord, and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For as it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 18. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. As he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." But out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. He went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about the importance of love in the Christian church, and we saw how in the earliest days love was specifically important because you were almost certain to disapprove of the way that some of your fellow Christians lived. We see that idea made specific today in our reading from Romans 14. Paul begins with the importance of welcome. Welcome one another. The virtue of hospitality was one which Christianity had inherited directly from Judaism. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews, for example, probably thinking of the 3 mysterious figures who visit Abraham and Sarah on the plains of Mamre, says, "Be not forget to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." This principle of welcome and hospitality was especially important, of course, in Rome, the city to which Paul was writing. Members of the new Christian communities from all over the empire would travel to Rome for trade and other purposes. They needed to be welcomed by the Christian community there. "But not," says Paul, "for the purpose of quarrelling over opinions." The 2 specific matters here about which he imagined such quarrels are what people are to eat and whether they should honour one day more than another. Obviously enough, these are matters which might cause dispute and division between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. Those who believe in eating anything, as Paul puts it, are probably Gentiles, who've eaten in that way all their lives. The Christians who eat only vegetables were probably not vegetarians, but lifelong Jews, who could not be sure that the meat they were offered in Gentile contexts would be kosher. Remember that at this stage, even their Holy Communion services are taking place in the context of a shared meal, very possibly in the private home of one of the fellowship. You can readily imagine the hosts being offended when they put on what they think is a nice meal, and half the guests will only eat the vegetables. Meanwhile, the Jewish believers, lifelong observers of the tradition of the Sabbath, might well be offended when they saw their Gentile brothers and sisters not honouring the day, but working away on a Saturday rather than resting in the Jewish way. It was crucial for the continuance of the Christian church that they find a way to live together, despite their differences. It all sounds very archaic and old-fashioned, this stuff, but we still live with the consequences of those discussions and decisions. We do indeed, as Christians, eat anything in the Gentile way, But we also shape our week in the Jewish way, not observing the rules of the Sabbath, but nevertheless setting aside the first day of the week, Sunday, as a special day, a day that we honour, the Lord's Day. Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, remains to some extent a day of rest for us at the weekend, different from the work days of the week. The most important principle to emerge from this passage, though, is what we call non-judgmentalism. It's still a very live modern issue. We're still perhaps not very good at it. Supposing the passage said this: some believe in marriage with either gender, others only in heterosexual marriage. Those who believe in same-sex marriage must not despise those who believe only in heterosexual marriage. Those who believe in heterosexual marriage must not pass judgment on those who believe in same-sex marriage, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on the servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Nothing could be further from the tone of the debate which the church is actually having, in which it appears that each side feels free to pass judgment on the other, a judgmentalism which too easily crosses over into contempt for alleged heresy on the one side and alleged homophobia on the other. On this and on other issues, it is indeed important that each of us is fully convinced in our own mind, as the Apostle puts it. But even more important, that we respect each other's conscientiously held opinions, and that we do not presume to judge each other. Judgment does not belong to us. The second and more obvious reason why the church must not be a forum for judgmentalism is made clear in our gospel reading. What is the Christian church, after all, if it is not a fellowship of people who realise that we are completely dependent on the merciful nature of God? We are a community of those who know, despite our wretched sinfulness, that, as Paul puts it, we will be upheld, only because the Lord is able to make us stand. In this sentence, where Paul refers to the Lord, he very specifically means the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew, in his own life, that he had never known freedom, until a voice from heaven gently pointed out to him that his own moralistic judgmentalism was only hurting himself. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It hurts you to kick against the goads." In our gospel reading, Peter asks Jesus, "How many times must I forgive my brother or sister?" Again, notice that the first focus of this forgiveness is within the church. The question is not, how many times must I forgive my neighbour or Joe Bloggs down the road? It is, how many times must I forgive my fellow Christian? Jesus answers either 77 times or 70 times 7. The Greek is slightly unclear, but the point isn't, and it's made clearer still by the parable which illustrates it. In that parable, the piffling debt of 100 denarii, which one servant owes to the other, represents the distance between my righteousness and the righteousness of any of my brothers or sisters. While the unimaginably huge debt of 10,000 talents, which is owed by the wicked servant to his master, is the distance between any righteousness which I might claim and the holiness of Almighty God. And it is that debt that has been paid once for all by my Saviour Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I must know that it is only with his grace that I can stand, and the only business I have with my brothers and sisters is to show them the same merciful generosity and support them as they try to stand in the grace which we have both been given. Amen.
Let all the world in every corner.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. In tad yr hynnoet yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, dele dy dernas gwnelo dy wyllus, megis yn y nef felly ar y ddea hefyd. Dylwn ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddeiwn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwa ni y brofod i gaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can ni seiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Lord, you opened your arms for us wide on the cross. You welcome us into your kingdom. May your saving power be known among us. Lead us into the ways of peace. Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, in everlasting love. Amen. Lord, we pray that your church may be welcoming and open. Let us draw others to you by our love and understanding. May we be a support to the weak in faith, a strength to the wavering, and uplift the fallen. Let us not be judgmental, and yet let us stand firm in our love for you and for your will. Teach us to be forgiving towards others, as we seek forgiveness from you. We pray for the outreach of your church, for our mission to seek out the lost and recover the fallen. Lord, as you gave your life for us, help us to give our lives to you. We pray for the banks and commerce of our world. We pray for countries and peoples that are deeply in debt. We pray for justice and fair dealings in trade. We remember those who have had homes or land repossessed, all who have become bankrupt, all who have lost the little that they had. Lord, as you gave your life for us, help us to give our lives to you. We give thanks for what you have given to us. We pray that what we may have may be neither hoarded nor squandered, that we may give to the relief of the needy and to the building up of our world. We give thanks for all who have been generous to us, and pray that our homes may be places of grace and generosity. Lord, as you gave your life for us, help us to give our lives to you. We pray for those whose lives are diminished by greed and selfishness, for all who are afraid to venture or to risk. We remember those afraid to commit themselves, all who have been hurt in love or betrayed by loved ones. We pray for all whose relationships have broken down. We remember before you all who are in trouble or in need. We pray for those in sickness. Lord, as you gave your life for us, help us to give our lives for you. We give thanks for all who in their generosity have given their lives in the service of others. We pray that as they gave their love and their life, you will give them love and life eternal. We pray especially those who are dear to us. May we with them share in your love and in life everlasting. Lord, as you gave your life for us, help us to give our lives to you. Amen.
Saved us, pardon and provide. souls a place. Teaches and trains, rebukes us and inspires us. Lord of the world, receive your people's praise. Lord, for the world where men disown and doubt you, love us in strength and comfort us in upon the throne. Past would be behind us, for the future take us. Lord of our lives, to live for Christ
may the power of God surround you, the love in Christ enfold you, and the joy of the Spirit be within you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.